Hello there, my name is Stephanie, and today I will be diving into the wonderful world of fiction with you. Today we are talking about I, Robot by Isaac Asimov. Let's talk about a collection of stories. A collection of stories so significant, so amazingly creative and innovative, that it literally defined an entire new genre of sci-fi. Before we get into the stories, we need to talk about how these stories have shaped literature and entertainment since the 1940s. Isaac Asimov was influential to the point where just my little episode here can't even begin to cover it. So for now, let's just stick with the points that come from today's topic. We'll start with the most wild-sounding and go from there. In these stories, Asimov created the term robotics entirely by accident. According to Asimov, he simply assumed the term already existed. This alone is possibly the most major contribution to science fiction, and possibly science in general, that this series can be credited for. Asimov also, purposefully this time, invented the term positronic brain. This term can be found in such modern examples as Doctor Who with the Daleks and Star Trek, where Data has a positronic brain. The other contribution to science fiction we need to discuss are the three laws. The three laws were created in this collection, and they have driven many robot authors after. We will get into what those laws are in just a moment. Some of you may have seen the Will Smith movie, I, Robot, with Alan Tudyk as Sonny the Robot. The thing is, Sonny and Detective Spooner are original characters created for the movie, so we won't see them here today. Dr. Calvin, on the other hand, is a very familiar face for those who have read I, Robot. Now, some of you may have noticed that I have been referring to today's topic as stories, or by the title only. That is because the book I, Robot was originally 9 short stories, published over several years, and it wasn't until 1950, 10 years after the first publication, that they were combined into a full book, narrated by a reporter who hears these stories from none other than Dr. Susan Calvin herself. The book is framed as an interview with Dr. Calvin after her retirement about her work with robopsychology. This is because each of these stories deals with an aspect of morality and looks into the psychology that these three laws have created in this world. She is a major player in most of these stories, and often is the first to understand the dilemma that the robots are facing. She's also, most of the time, able to find the best way to resolve them. Now, on to the stories we go. While I don't have time to speak of all 9 fascinating tales contained in this collection, I will share a few of my favorites today. Let's start with the story Runaround. In this tale, 2 engineers, Powell and Donovan, have sent their SPD-13 robot, nicknamed Speedy, to retrieve materials essential to their survival on the surface of Mercury. Speedy, however, does not return. When trying to communicate with him does nothing, the two find him to be some form of drunk, running in circles and unable to respond to their messages. The 2 engineers soon discover that due to how the 3 laws are presented in Speedy, he is in eternal conflict on how to obey his orders and has become completely, quote-unquote, drunk as a result. Powell and Donovan must find a way to break Speedy out of this loop, or they won't survive. This story had me hooked from the word go. It was suspenseful and studied the idea of 2 conflicting thoughts being too much to handle. I'm sure some of us can relate. It is also the first time we hear of the 3 laws. The laws are what drives the robot to act or not. The 3 laws are as follows. 1. A robot may not injure a human being, or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. 2. A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings except where such orders would conflict with the first law. 3. A robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. And it is these laws that become the central plot point of each of these stories. Whether trying to resolve a conflict with the laws or something is failing in the laws themselves, each robot has a unique issue that deals with these laws that are designed to be flawless. I think that's what makes these stories so unique. In each story, we are told that these laws are absolute, and in each story, we find reasons to doubt them. Sometimes, the laws have been altered to an extent that causes issues with the other laws. Sometimes the fault is with the humans running the operation. But each time we see something happen with a rogue robot, it's likely the 3 laws are behind the trouble. The second story I want to discuss is Liar. This story deals with much more moral dilemmas rather than mortal peril. In this story, an RB-34, also known as Herbie, has the ability to read human minds due to unknown circumstances during his assembly. Because of this, his existence is kept very secret, and only Dr. Calvin and three others have any contact with him. Herbie offers his help in any way he can to find the solution to his problem, and each of these U.S. robot officers has their own experience with his unique ability. Herbie's story is a difficult one in some regards. His very existence is a mystery, and how he acts is a direct result of his abilities. This makes it extremely difficult to work with him. As Dr. Calvin puts it, "You're always a step ahead of me." The interpretation of the three laws is a critical factor here. Herbie must obey the three laws, but what does that exactly mean for a robot anomaly like Herbie? I really, really wish I could talk about the ending of this one specifically, but I'll leave that for you to discover. Finally, the last story I have chosen for today's episode is Little Lost Robot. This particular story was one of the most popular, earning it a place on the TV show Out of This World in 1962. Here, Dr. Calvin is tasked with finding an NS-2, Nestor 10, that has gone missing. The interesting part of this, however, is that the team this time knows exactly why things went wrong. Nestor 10 is hiding among 63 identical robots because he was ordered to go lose yourself in a fit of frustration. The second law demands obedience, so Nestor 10 does just that and hides himself from the team very successfully. But Nestor 10 is no ordinary robot, and he must be found at all costs. In this particular story, the three laws are at play once again, however, not in the sense one would think at first. In this story, the first law has been purposefully altered, much to Dr. Calvin's horror. Nestor 10 is programmed not to harm a human, but that's all. The second part of the first law has been omitted to accommodate the dangerous working conditions the team experienced daily. Positronic brains were constructed that contained the positive aspect only of the law, which in them reads, "No robot may harm a human being." That is all. They have no compulsion to prevent one coming to harm. But Dr. Calvin provides us with the other side of the coin with the following scenario. If a modified robot were to drop a heavy weight on a human being, he would not be breaking the first law. If he did so with the knowledge that his strength and reaction speed would be sufficient to snatch the weight away before it struck the man. However, once the weight left his fingers, he would be no longer the active medium. Only the blind force of gravity would be that. The robot could then change his mind and merely by inaction allow the weight to strike. The modified first law allows that. This story is intensely captivating, and Nestor 10, while not as endearing as Speedy or Herbie might be, is a fascinating example of the importance of the three laws. While often flawed, they are there for a reason, and Nestor 10 shows the danger of ignoring these laws. I could probably go on and on about iRobot and the impact it had on the world, as well as me personally, but I think that's about all the time we have for today. This collection is a piece of history, and while some of the dates mentioned would make us chuckle, Liar, for example, takes place in the distant year of 2021, 40 years before Dr. Calvin's interview. The stories are just as gripping as ever. Also, after rereading these stories, I'm definitely noticing things that didn't register the first time through, like that Herbie prefers fiction books to the mathematic books he's been given to study, or that Nestor 10 may have been influenced by more than the Order itself. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Until next time, this has been Bookwormies. My name is Stephanie, and I hope to see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.
Tuning into this episode proudly presented by the APNM Group, a subsidiary of Alger Productions, LLC. We strive to produce content that informs, entertains, and adds value to your day. We value your input and would be delighted to hear your thoughts in the comments about this episode. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please engage with us in the comments section or via our social media platforms. Your feedback helps us shape our content and uncover new topics that matter to our listeners. If this episode resonated with you, we kindly ask that you rate and review this show on your preferred podcast platform. Sharing this podcast with friends and family helps us reach more listeners and continue delivering content you enjoy. For more information about the podcast, the host, or our parent company, please visit the link in this episode's description. Also visit us on YouTube and Rumble to see and hear every content produced by Alger Productions. Thank you once again for your time and support. Until next time, stay tuned and stay inspired.